And you are listening to KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, the station that loves you. That's a great song to follow up on the Homegrown Garden Island Bluegrass Show.
It's so fun to come in here after these guys.
It is. It's always excellent.
Yeah.
And we are happy to be warm and dry, or maybe not warm, but dry in our studio here at KKCR at the top of the hill in Princeville. And it looks like the road to Hanalei is still open. But I'll tell you what, these are the kind of conditions that cause that not to happen. And if any of you are driving and that road does close, and Marshall, you might be able to keep an eye on it on the internet, we will let you know if the road does close. Sometimes we have flooding down there at the bridge. KKCR is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with the Kauai Store. And today we're going to have a range of guests, one of whom is the mayor, Bernard Carvalho. He wasn't feeling that well, and it's raining really hard, so he's going to be a call-in guest as opposed to a come-in guest. And okay. We're going to have Bino Costello is coming in, and Keola Larson is coming in. He's out there actually doing water sampling in the rivers. It's a rough day to be doing that with Justin Carvalho, his teacher at KCC. And we might even have Eric Hansen from the Go Farm program calling in from Japan.
Yes, that would be great.
We'll see if he can actually pull that off. But so in the meantime, let's really hear from our underwriters that help us stay on the air.
Do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, staff, board, members, volunteers, or underwriters.
The Kauai Store is located in Kapa'a on the highway in front of Kostilas. The store has authentic Kauai products, including clothing, snacks, art, coffee, crafts, and more. We even have local food samples. The Kauai Store products are also available online at thekauaistore.com.
KKCR listens to you. If you'd like to make comments or provide feedback regarding our programming, or to suggest programming you'd like to hear, go to kkcr.org, click on the contact link, and take our listener survey. Or send us a letter at KKCR, P.O. Box 825, Hanalei, Hawaii 96714. Kauai Community Radio, listening to you.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. We do have a caller on our line at 826-7771. Aloha, you are on the air.
Oh, aloha, Felicia. This
Hi.
Is Marge calling, and I just want to encourage people to let them know that the KIUC election ends on this coming Saturday at noon. So if people haven't voted yet, they need to get their votes into the mail, or they can vote online, or they can vote over the telephone.
Do you have the phone number?
I don't have a phone number. It's on their ballot. They should have received a ballot. Hopefully they didn't throw them away. And so they can get the phone number also in the local phone books, or, you know, get online. So as a caller, am I allowed to say who my preferences are?
You know, I could get in trouble with the cab. I'm
no,
half joking. You're on the cab.
If you gave your preferences, but I believe callers can give their preferences.
Well,
there's nothing wrong with a caller to do that.
All right, you would be on that board to give me a sting for allowing that. So go ahead.
Okay, so you vote for three people, and I am voting for Carol Bain. She has been on the board now for two or maybe three sessions. And the reason I'm voting for her is that she is membership chair. And she has done a marvelous job in trying to get more transparency for what happens with our KIU staff and our CEO and the board. Consistently, she's gone in that direction. So I'm voting for her to continue that, to vote her on the board. The other person that has done that significantly is the current chair, and that's Jan ten Ruttengate. He is also working toward getting more transparency on the board and the staff and the CEO. And as some callers may know, I've been lobbying for that for quite some time. And callers may not know that I attend all the KIUC board meetings, and so I'm up on what's going on as much as I can, because a lot of what they take care of is not transparent. It's not brought out at board meetings. The third person I'm voting for is Mina Marita, and the reason for Mina is that she served as the chair of the Public Utilities Commission on Oahu for, I believe, at least 4 years. She's resigned off that position now, and she will be a tremendous asset to the board of directors, because anything that the board does to make changes in their rates or structures has to go before the Public Utilities Commission. So Mina Marita, in my opinion, would add a tremendous amount of constructive suggestions due to her experience. So those three, Carol Bain, Jan ten Bruttengate, and Mina Marita. And everybody, please dig out your ballot and vote. The deadline, again, is this coming Saturday, March 12th at noon. You have to have your ballot in by that time.
So I'm going to still, in the interest of fairness and balance that KCR is known for, Calvin Murashige is also running, and he is an existing board member. He is a lawyer and I believe is a retired judge on the island here. And then we have Bill Peterson. And his big emphasis was really wanting to help make sure, at least that I remember, allowing for solar panels on rooftops as opposed to concentrating them on big pieces of land. Do you remember any of his other positions that are...
No, but he's had a considerable experience on the mainland, and I did get to speak to him after the... I guess I had a forum. Yeah, there was a forum last week that I went to, and I believe you were there as well. And I believe the judge is a very good person, and he has served a very useful purpose on the board. I've been observing him now for 3 years, and he has an excellent reputation. It's not against anybody that I'm calling in about. It's more toward whom I think would serve us better as members. And I always look forward to that, to make sure that our members know what's going on and there is transparency in the decisions that are being made. But thanks, Felicia. Appreciate the time.
Okay. You're welcome. Thank you for calling it in.
All right. Aloha.
Aloha. And while we're talking about voting, Marshall, there's a couple of different things that have to do with voting going on right now. Like today is the caucus for the Republican Party on Hawaii.
Yes.
And you have that information in front of you? He's smiling. that means now I put him on the spot. But there is, and I'm going to look it up, or I'm going to have him look it up, today at 5:30, I believe there are five locations. There's the Princeville Community Center up near the bank. That's going to be this North Shore area. I believe Kapa'a Neighborhood Center, Lihue Neighborhood Center. And then I'm waiting for him to find that, but I believe Waimea and Kalaheo. But let's get that confirmed. But so people would be choosing amongst the candidates, which is Ted Cruz, Donald Trump, Marco Rubio, and John Kasich for the Republican Party. And it is it's important to go out there and vote. And what happens when you do these caucuses, it's a little different than a primary. It's the parties themselves that are putting them on. And so you have to physically go in there to be there, and you're also picking your delegates.
Okay. So you want to know where the
Yes, because it is tonight. So people who are registered as Republicans, and you can register right as you get there, too. But for the Republican caucus, which determines which presidential candidate, where is it?
We got the Princeville. This says Princeville Community Club. I suppose they mean the Princeville Community Center.
Yeah.
In Kapa'a, it's the Neighborhood Center, the Lihue Neighborhood Center, the Kalaheo Neighborhood Center, and the Waimea Neighborhood Center.
Okay, Felicia gets gold star for remembering. And then is it 5:30?
Great, Felicia.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is. So he's going to be looking to confirm that.
Oh, no, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m.
Okay, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And I think the reason why I tell people a half hour early is show up on time, especially if you're going to have any kind of parking issues. I know that in the last presidential caucus for the Republicans, and Ron Paul was, I think, the driver that brought the big turnout, the line was around the block. It wound all the way around. There was not room to park in the Kapan neighborhood area for the Kapan Neighborhood Center. So for the Democrat Party, it is going to be on March 26th. It's a Saturday and kind of noon to 1. They're saying 12:30, but they're trying to do the vote at 1 o'clock.
I do have locations for that.
Okay, so that'll come out too. So today there was a primary in Michigan. I watched the debate on Sunday for the Democratic Party, and compared to what happened for the Republican Party, the Republican Party was almost embarrassing to watch that debate because it really even got down to genital size. Or, you know, that was the implication behind the hand size. But so for the Democrat debate, I felt like it was really, really strong on policy. And unfortunately for the Republicans, things have caused it to get to where it is just, you know, a little bit of battling on non-policy issues. It's gotten a little bit rough. But so do you have the Democrat locations in front of you now?
Yes, Princeville Community Center, Kilauea Neighborhood Center, Anahola Community Center, Kapa'a Neighborhood Center, Lihue Neighborhood Center, HGEA Hall, Kaloa Neighborhood Center.
So HGEA place is right there sort of across from Walmart near Tip Top, between Walmart and Tip Top Cafe. Okay, go on.
Kaloa Neighborhood Center, Kalaheo Neighborhood Center, and the Kamakani Neighborhood Center.
Kamakani, yes. Okay. All right. So thank you on that. So Michigan, they've been having a primary. Is it just for Democratic?
No,
both.
All right. Going on right now.
And so it's later there than here. I think it's Eastern time.
Right.
Do they have any answers yet for that one?
Yeah, the polls have closed. And so the Republicans have 21% reporting. Donald Trump has nearly 38% of the vote. And John Kasich comes in second with 26%. Ted Cruz has about 23%. And poor Marco Rubio, 9% of the vote there. That just does not look good for him. Oh, my goodness. And on the Democratic side, in Michigan, Bernie Sanders is ahead with 51% of the vote, as to Hillary Clinton's 47%. That's with 23% of the precincts reporting. It's interesting. I noticed that Detroit went for Clinton, as did Flint. So Flint likes Hillary.
You know, I read whatever those polls are worth after the Michigan debate, and even Time, last time I looked at it, Time magazine had something like 67% in favor of, and no, they had 67,000, and they had 85%, 67,000 voters the last time I looked, 85% for Sanders, so that was a really powerful sway. And then the Detroit newspaper had him at almost 90% of being stronger in the debate. Now, that doesn't mean just because he did well in the debate that people, you know, have more faith in one's leadership or the other.
Right. But from the difference between these results and the polling that had been done, it looked like the debate did make a difference in favor of Bernie Sanders.
So, and then have you been looking at the delegate layouts?
Yes, actually.
And the delegate issue is, it's not popular vote that puts somebody in office or puts somebody on the ballot. It's both in the general election and the primaries and the caucuses. People basically vote, and then delegates are picked, and then those delegates make their choices. It kind of harkens back to when it was a horse ride across the country to get to a place where you physically could vote. personally, I'd like to see us move away from the delegates and to the popular vote. I think that that would be a good thing personally, but that's my opinion. Okay, how's it going in there with the delegates?
Well, and then you've got this complication of the superdelegates, right? So if you look just straight at the delegates, exclude the superdelegates for a second, Hillary Clinton has 673 to Bernie Sanders, 477. Today, though, there are 130 delegates up for grabs. And it's proportional, so they don't all go to one person, but that will be a few more for Bernie, however it ends up exactly. So there's that. But then Hillary also has 461 superdelegates to Bernie's 25. So the totals at this point on the Democratic side are 1,134 delegates for Hillary Clinton and 502 for Bernie Sanders. And on the Republican side, we have 384 delegates, including superdelegates, for Donald Trump, 300 for Ted Cruz, 151 for Marco Rubio, and 37 for John Kasich.
Okay. So it sounds like even for today there can be a difference. And is only Michigan caucusing or primarying, or is somebody else?
No. Today we have, Hawaii, Idaho, Michigan, and Mississippi.
Okay. And then so maybe you can look at how some of those other ones are doing, if they're showing up, or maybe it's too early to tell.
Let's take a look.
And then I think over the weekend there was a number, and Bernie Sanders actually got three of the four states. But not every state is equal. There's different amounts that are in there. And while you're looking that up, I want to announce a few different events that are coming up. Tomorrow night at the Anahola Neighborhood Center at 6 o'clock, both the Kalalea Anahola Farmers and the Kauai Farmers Union United, two farm groups, are having their meeting at the same time, and water is the big issue about it, and how the Department of Hawaiian Homelands is going to be working with putting the wells up there. That's at least what the flyer says here, is that the water tank is being replaced by DHHL. It's not necessarily good or bad, that's just what it is, and so there's going to be some discussion on that. And then there's dangers of water contamination without a backflow preventer. So there's going to be a couple of speakers that are in there, and I will certainly be at that meeting. So that's one of the ones coming up. On next Monday, there is a fisherman meeting that I have been invited to. I don't know that I can actually make it to that one, though. It is about tagging tuna, and I am, I'll be honest, I'm not a very strong fisherman. So it says the Pacific Islands Fisheries Group presents an evening with Dr. Molly Lutkovich. And so it's about pelagic tagging project workshop. So it's the main Hawaiian islands, and it's focused on ahi. And so it's in the building right next to KCL restaurant, which is the Korean restaurant. Says Unit C, 2, and 3. So they should do a little bit better job at saying where they're at, but that was asked to be shared. And it's the Pacific Island Fisheries Group that's putting this on Monday, March 14th from 6 to 8 p.m. So if you're a fisherman, it might be a really good one to come and look at. I think they're going to be educating about quite a bit there. So did you see the other results?
Mississippi. Hillary Clinton has won with 83% of the vote.
That's substantial.
That is substantial.
And is that what 83% of the vote is in, or 83% of the people voted for her?
14% have reported, but they're calling it for her. And at this point, she's received 83% of the vote.
Of the 14% right. Have been counted.
And in Mississippi, 36 delegates are up for grabs for the Democrats. And in Idaho, The results are not in. They'll be in about 6 o'clock.
Okay. And then I want to also announce again about the CERT training. That is the Community Emergency Response Team. It's a great program. You've done it, correct, Marshall?
Yes.
And so the Princeville class is underway. Tomorrow night is the third night, and that is at, what's the name of the little clubhouse over there? Where it's at?
Sunset Drive
Clubhouse. So it's from 5:30 to 9:30. But March 15th is the first night for the next Kilauea group. So it's every Tuesday night from 5:30 to 9:30. And then March 28th is the first night for Lihue. And that's, what day of the week is that? March 28th. They should put that right on here. But so it's every week. And that's Lihue. So they do a lot of really great training. And the more people in our community that get together and get strong at this, the better off it is.
March 28th is a Monday.
Mondays. So okay, Mondays in Lihue, Tuesdays in Kilauea, Wednesdays in Princeville. And Marshall, you took this class. Did you get a lot out of it?
Oh, absolutely. And the greatest thing, really, is to end up being trained as a community emergency response team volunteer and being part of that group and prepared to respond in the case that our first responders are overwhelmed. But, yeah, we learned everything you need to know to do that.
And probably how to take care of yourself.
Yes, and it's always emphasized that the number one priority is to take care of yourself and your family. And then after that is to take care of your buddy. You always work in a buddy system. Yes.
Yes, and so I was just suggesting to Greg, who was in here, who's one of the civilian coordinators, the community coordinators, the fire department is also a big piece of it. But, you know, to get it on Hawike, I think that would be a really good way to help spread the teaching for people who can't make it in there. You know, the more everybody knows, the better off it is. So he's shrugging.
I'm kind of shrugging. I don't know. I think the most appropriate thing is to be in the classroom and have access to the firefighters who are there to share their knowledge and experience. You know, there's a textbook and a slideshow, and you could get everything. Get all the facts from that, but people need to show up.
Okay, sometimes not everybody can. That's the reason why I would like to see it go a little bit broader. But okay, so great. And then one of the things that we're going to be speaking with the mayor, he'll be calling in about 5 or 6 minutes. We are having a seed and plant exchange this weekend, and I will save some of this for when he's on the phone of why I really appreciate what the county is going to be doing. About twice a year, Regeneration's Botanical Garden has a seed and plant exchange. It's like a giant plant potluck. People can come with a lot and leave with a little or nothing. Often that's the case because the people who have so much, they don't have any more room to put it, you know, and people are happy to give it away because it's like finding homes for your kittens or your puppies. You know, you've got all these little baby plants that have been feeding you. These are the offspring of what you have so much abundance for. So the more that we are able to get food being grown everywhere, the more solid and stable our island will be, really anywhere will be. When you grow your own food, you produce less garbage, you put less impact as the planes come over here, the ships come over here to bring the food. Less driving on the road to go get that food. It actually is a seed that helps to be upending a lot of the different challenges that we have. But it's just a start.
And the more we share our seeds and plants, the more solid and stable those plants themselves become as they become locally adapted and used to living here.
Right, and that is one of the strengths of what you get at the seed exchange, too. Instead of buying a pack of seeds that came from China or the Pacific Northwest or some other place, these are island-adapted seeds.
Right.
And so they are really screened for what is appropriate to be sharing. And so you can come with nothing, go with a lot. You can come with a lot and go with nothing. It's really a big piece of aloha. Most people bring some and get some.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, it really is a gift actually to receive, because it's so exciting to see somebody be excited to take home the seeds that you've brought or the plants that you've brought and know that they're going to go in their garden and grow again.
Yes, and the deal that people make when they take it is that when they have abundance, they bring it back and they share it with other people, whether it's at a seed exchange or just out of their yard. And so it is plant evangelizing.
I do want to say that we need to ask people to carpool. Please carpool. The parking is limited, and we're expecting a big turnout.
And it's at Aninaho Park in Kilauea, which is right next to the mini golf. And on that point, and who's going to be coming in later, is the botanical manager for the mini golf. And he's going to be giving two free tours. And the mini golf is so wonderful because it is a plant lesson. It's a plant history of starting with the endemic plants, and then as the different plants get introduced, all the way up to the modern era. So each hole tells a story, and it's beautiful. And, you know, that botanical tour of the mini golf will be free. Last week, I wasn't on the air. Thank you guys for doing it. I called in. But I went to a meeting, both a sustainability summit that was held at Kauai Community College. And later in the show, we're going to be talking more about that in the second half. And we got one of the students in there, and they're doing some really amazing things there. And after that, I went to a meeting with Syngenta. And that was something that came out of the last show that we did. At that meeting, Senator Ron Kochi, President of the Senate from Kauai, he was there. Scott Enright was there. He's the head of the Department of Agriculture. Ginny Pressler, the head of the Department of Health, were there. Joanne Yukimura came. Mason Chalk came. There was four doctors in the room. Three powerful attorneys are in the room that happen to be citizens who have some concern. And then mostly citizens in the community who were concerned, the public relations people from Dow and Syngenta came. Pioneer didn't quite make it, but great conversation. It's a good start. As we go on a little bit later in the show today, I do have what was brought to us when Syngenta did come in, talking about what their goals are to be stewards of the land, trying to be stronger stewards of the land. We'll be talking about that. And we'll be bringing up with Mayor Cavallo what people can expect both from the county and from Regenerations and what's coming at this meeting. I'm really excited about it. It is, well, in the past, I was for a while the president of the North Shore Business Council, and I was very involved with that organization for 13 years. I was on the board of that. And when we would have events, we would try and have a lot of different resources for business people to come in and be able to utilize. And this particular seed exchange is going to be heavier on resources. When people come in, there are going to be a lot of places for you to be parking your ideas, getting opportunities, and we're going to go a little bit more thoroughly in for what people can expect when they're there. But agriculture is very important. It is one of the tripods that keeps this place stable, and I think it's a lifeline for what would keep this place stable if we ever really were in either economic crisis or political crisis or any sort of thing that would be cutting us off. And as I used to say on the show, we'll be fine if they cut the line when we are growing a lot more food here.
Right. You were telling me the other day that after Hurricane Iniki, they planted a lot of sweet potato. Is that right?
No, that's not right.
No.
What they did is during World War II,
World War II.
A big difference. So they took a number of acres and planted it in sweet potato, which grows very, very quickly, and the leaves are good. After Hurricane Iniki, what was really is powerful is there wasn't a blade of grass that was green. You know, it did so much devastation to the plants everywhere. It just wiped this place down. If somebody had said, oh, they dropped a bomb on this place, I would have believed it. It looked burnt, and that was from the salt in the air and the speed of the wind. What does survive through that is the root crops. Mm. the root crops survive, and what is really important, and that I did tell you that was valuable, is to have things like sunflower seeds or things that you can sprout, because it was months before we had fresh produce in the grocery stores. And the sprouting seeds gave you greens and gave you some fresh food. You'd be surprised how much you really want that. The refrigerator sections of the grocery stores weren't filled for a while. In fact, the stores didn't open for a week or two, and then they were empty aisles. And thank goodness for the military, because the military really came in with a lot of food. So people who were experienced in Iki or Dot or Eva, those are three hurricanes that we had in the last 50 years, 60 years, people are prepared for it mentally. And that's a really good training for people who weren't in that. And when I watch, sometimes I'll be on Oahu and they'll have a hurricane warning and nobody does anything. And here, you know, everybody treats it like a very serious fire drill, and because they have an understanding of what it is. You are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. This is Felicia and Marshall with Kauai Soapbox. And we are talking about a number of different things. We are expecting the mayor to call in very soon, but what we will be talking to him about is what is happening with the Kauai Seed Exchange. And so one of the things that I am very, very happy and appreciative to the county is that the planning department will be at the Seed Exchange with their general plan update.
Oh, that's great.
That is great, and I have said on the air, and I've gone to some of these meetings, I've been concerned that I feel like the organic agriculture community and what we call regenerative agriculture community is underrepresented in the plan and what they have so far in that. And there are many, many issues that are really important. An example is farm worker housing. A big challenge is that to grow these plants, when you don't have machines like the big industrial farms, they monocrop, they have one plant, and they have, you know, a same kind of food that they're going to be feeding to all their plants, typically in some sort of a fertilizer, chemical fertilizer of sorts, and they're able to use equipment. And so they just come in and they drive back and forth across this big field. Whereas organic and regenerative farming really take the hand of the farmer, the shadow of the farmers on all those plants. And so it really does require a space to live and an intention to recognize it as a food production. I think another big challenge that happens with that is success is measured in dollars sold, which helps the county and the state gain tax revenue. That's an important piece for the county and the state to run. And what organic farming does the best is it creates food to eat. There are a number of farms that are actually productive, and they sell quite a bit of product, but there are many other people who do, you know, above sustenance, but it's really very hard to make your money on a $1 million piece of property and selling oranges and avocados. It's a challenge. And so, but they still do produce a lot of food. And they eat it, and they share it, and they might give it away, or they might sell some of it. But it's not as valuable to the government because it's not as measurable. There's less dollars that go through on that. And so we have to sit there and help them understand why it is almost like CERT, right? It's Community Emergency Response Training. This is community vitality, community resilience.
Right. You know, the bigger they are, the harder they fall, really. If you take a monocrop and expose it to a disease that it's never seen before, you could lose the whole thing. Whereas that's not going to happen on a small farm with diversified agriculture.
Yeah, diversified agriculture has a whole lot less vulnerability to any kind of pests and diseases.
You know, there's some good news for sustainable agriculture on the national scale. The big news apparently is that in the new spending bill, this is news as of December, Congress did go ahead and pass a spending bill, and in it for the first time or the first time in a while, there is no GIPSA rider. That's G-I-P-S-A, an acronym.
What does it stand for?
I don't know what it stands for, but it has for years prevented the USDA from writing and implementing rules that protect family farms from unfair industry practices. So that sounds like good news. There was a little bit of not so great news. The appropriation bill cut 20% from the mandatory funding provided in the farm bill for small farms. So good news, a little bad news, but apparently that GIPSA thing is a big deal.
Well, I think that there's many big deals in terms of the agriculture for the farming. One is this Trans-Pacific Partnership that basically it is now where meat, anything, does no longer have to have a country of origin. And when something is coming from somewhere else, they are not blocked by any kind of state, local, or national laws. So when we have the Food Safety Modernization Act that puts an incredible amount of restrictions onto farming, particularly on organic farming, I don't think it's targeting organic farming, but the people sitting in whatever office that are writing up these rules have basically outlawed nature. You know, you're not allowed to be doing many things that are, very normal.
Hey, you know what? If you don't mind if I diverge from the conversation for a second, I was really excited to see that Jimmy Carter is cancer-free. Apparently in August, his doctors determined that he had stage 4 melanoma that had spread to his brain, but he's been cancer-free for almost 2 months, and he no longer needs treatment. So, yes for Jimmy Carter. And who doesn't love Jimmy Carter at this point?
So he's going to be okay?
Well, right now, that's what it looks like. They're not even treating him anymore. So.
Yay. So this is the mayor. So aloha. Thank you for calling in.
Hi, Felicia. This is Sarah Blaine, and I'm here with Mayor Carvalho.
Okay.
She's walking in the door as we speak.
Okay, great. And him and I were just on my cell phone a second ago. So.
Okay, hey, Felicia. Hi.
Hi. And then I'm going to need you to turn the radio off if it's on.
No, it's not on.
Okay, all right. Now it's sounding clear. Can you hear us okay?
I can hear you.
Okay, great. So thank you so much for both coming to the seed exchange that's coming up and...
Yes, I'll be there.
Yeah, and then a couple really good things that I was just discussing with the audience. We're really thankful that the planning department is coming to have the general plan update.
Yep, the planning department will be there. And as I want everybody to understand how important this general plan update is for the island of our beautiful island, right?
That's right.
And anytime we can get our guys out and about in all kinds of events or inviting the public to the scheduled meetings will be great. I just want the more people, the better.
Right. And so this is really great that we're getting a house call. At the seed exchanges, very typically we have between anywhere from 200 to 400 people who show up. It depends upon how rough the rain is, but... this is a great reason in itself to come to the seed exchange to be able to talk to the planning department. Because what we were talking about, Mayor Carvalho, is some of the issues that faces food producers are very profound. Both, as
right.
you know, housing for farm workers, really critical to be able to
critical,
be
yes.
really critical. Some of the tax structures relative to having a commercial tax rate as opposed to an ag tax rate if you sell farm products on the farm.
Right, right, right.
And so anybody who's doing livestock, well, that's rough, you know. So people are meeting at the post office or something with that goat or chicken, you know. And so, those are the type of things that would be very helpful to be speaking to the planning department. Can you think of other examples of what you all would want to be hearing from our farmers?
Well, just in general, yeah. I mean, like kind of what you said, and then even what type, different types of farming and opportunities there, you know, what are available inventory-wise, and then how can we work collectively and look at what kinds of farming would work well here on Kauai. I mean, I'm totally open. I think it's a time now that we should look at all kinds of farming and what would best fit here as far as the for the local farmer, number one. Number two, where can we actually grow our food and have it being sold at the very Sunshine Market? So we need to do more opportunities like that. So I'm just totally open to hearing the different opportunities coming our way.
Yes, and what will be really nice when we're at the seed exchange is there will be many resources there. For example, the food pantries that can take farmers' overages, and then it helps to feed the people in need, and they get a tax receipt for it, so farmers can write off that crop that they might otherwise not be able to move, and they're able to be demonstrating that they are doing production, whether that is selling for money or not, in terms of being able to qualify for having a farm worker housing unit on based on volume. So that's an example that's really strong.
Okay.
We're going to be having some of the educators that are there. The Go Farm program is going to be there. The Master Gardener program, both of these are at Kauai Community College. Those are very valuable.
Valuable also at KCC, you know, the up-and-coming food production center.
Mm-hmm.
That's another one that, and I know at KCC, they're also looking at really going into the breadfruit, the crop.
Right.
Which is another one that can tie in, I guess, thinking more big picture. But that food production center that's going to be there at KCC is going to be another opportunity for farmers.
For creating value-added products.
Value-added products, yeah.
Yes, and we have a new commercial kitchen at Waipa in
I Hanawai. Love that one, too. Yeah, we're there for the blessing.
Yeah.
In fact, the emu, too, right? There's the emu there, which I thought was awesome.
We and have
just the kitchen area, yeah.
We have that, and in Kilauea already we have at the church there on Lighthouse, I mean on Kilauea Road.
Yes.
They've got a commercial kitchen that they avail the farmers. They will probably be there looking for that. We're looking to try and help what I call an online dating service for the farmers and the restaurants, you know, so that people can get their products into the restaurants.
And I love it. I mean, from farm to table, farm to restaurant, farm to whatever. I mean, that would be the message that I think we all got to get. And this seed exchange opportunity, let me say that again, having gone to, what is the last, there was one in All Saints that I went to one time, and then one over at the shopping center, Safeway Shopping Center in the Waipoli.
Yes, and I believe you've
Remember?
Been, yep, and you've been up to one of ours near our food forest.
Yes,
and our,
and the food forest. In fact, I went into the food forest, so that was another. So having been there and experienced the people there and just, it was kind of cool, I mean, to see the different people and what the enthusiasm about how to really look at all kinds of different crops. And, of course, the seed program, right? The exchanging of seeds was interesting.
Yes. And we're going to have people from the Hawaii Tropical Fruit Growers Association this year. And I believe the county is possibly helping us a little bit putting on, it's called an international convention. It's mostly statewide, but they will be bringing in buyers from Japan and the continental United States for some of our product that's here. So that's something that's helpful. We are also having a booth that, you know, we did a bioremediation study with the help of the Office of Economic Development from the county.
Yeah.
And so we're really appreciative of that, and we're actually very anxious to be sharing what our successes are and some of these strategies are with the county directly, you know.
Yeah.
Because, go ahead.
No, and you mentioned about going abroad. In our last trip to Japan, I wanted to visit some of the agricultural areas, and we went to a tangerine farm.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, tangerines all over the place, you know, homegrown tangerines. And the farmers themselves would come and actually pick the tangerines and then deliver the tangerines to their food processing place. I got to go through that as well. So the point I'm making is the connection there to look at farming from abroad and maybe learning from that. So that was another connection that was made. So it's interesting how they run their sunshine market set up. People would come and, you know, they actually drop off their fruits or their produce, and then the location would actually set it up and sell it for them, and then they would, that's how they run theirs. So it's kind of interesting to see the layout, you know, in Japan.
Yes, and Eric Hansen is, he's our GoFarm instructor at Kauai Community College, and he is in Japan right now.
Oh.
And in fact, you know, he is likely to be calling in very soon. And he's over there looking at what's up in Japan and seeing what we can be doing there and to be bringing, you know, some of the plans. Now he's listening, and now he just texted me and said he used up all his data on his phone, so he's not going to be calling in, but he's listening.
Okay.
And he can hear you right now. He's over there in Japan, and yeah, so he's working on looking at what they do that is creative in Japan. And
Eric Hansen, right?
Eric Hansen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, Eric Hansen, you can hear us here on the beautiful island of Kauai. Hope everything goes well, going well in Japan.
That's right. That's right. And so, Mayor, you are going to be, I think, a little bit in the later part of our event. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think around 3 o'clock-ish, around that time.
Okay, so you'll be after we do the actual exchange.
It'll be after the exchange? Time is the actual exchange?
It starts at 2. I had thought to bring you up to the stage about 1:45 to 2, because that's when everybody...
You know what?
Let's
look at that, because I wasn't clear on that. We'll work that.
Yeah, because...
So you're saying if I can get there by 1:45 to 2?
Yeah, if you can be on the stage by 1:45 to 2. And thank you for providing the stage. We have the stage
there. You're supposed to be using the stage.
We're going to be... So the county is really showing up for this seed exchange.
Yeah, and then like you said, we're going to have our planning people there, which I think is a great idea. The more we can get out the word that I want people's input on a general plan update. This is the time, and I want a good cross-section of information flowing so we can make better decisions as we map out our island.
And that even, you know, these are a lot of the things that have been rather contentious, like people, sometimes they're able to keep the farm. It's literally like hanging onto the farm as their kid grows up. Then they rent out that spare bedroom and have a bed and breakfast type of arrangement where they educate people on the farm. That's another thing that is under pressure. You know, it's so hard to be making these decisions because
it's difficult, and you want to do these parts, but then you know, how do you manage that? I'm sure everybody follows the rules, you know, so.
Right.
But the bigger picture is, like you said, you know, yeah, how do we, to me, encourage our future farmers? I mean, we're really working with economic development to work within the schools to bring back the future farmer program.
Right.
Which is not there. So I think Kapa'a has it. Kauai High has the program. I think Kapa'a will be next. So, you know, it's maybe small, but I think it's a good thing. At least we're trying to bring that program back. I was there in high school with that suede blue jacket that says Future Farmers of America.
Well, and we got to get the Future Farmers of America talking with our Farmers Union, our Kauai Farmers Union United, and Kalalea,
yeah, all
Honorable
of
Farmers.
That's where it's at. So I have Economic George folks, Costa.
Because we are very, very happy to be bringing them in and onto the farms. It's we're excited to be helping that community, the young, be a part of what we're doing.
Yeah.
So that's a big piece.
Yep.
And, you know, I know I only have you for maybe 10 more minutes. Because I can go on about farming till the cows come home, literally, because
I wanted to talk about, because we have the blessing coming up for Kilauea Ag Park.
That's right, on the 20th.
Yes, and I'm very excited about that, you know, working closely with all the team players. Everybody shares in how this thing came about, but, you know, I'm just happy that it's at this level, this point in time. And with Josh folks and the team there, I'm looking forward to making that come to life sooner than later. And it's going to happen.
Yep. And at the seed exchange, Josh folks from what we're now calling it the Kilauea Community Farm. They're going to be right there next to the planning department, and then on the other side of that is the bioremediation effort, which has got all kinds of economic development opportunities that are coming out of that.
See, that along with, if anybody didn't know already, that we also want to relocate our Sunshine Market by the Kilauea Gym area back there. And that was part of some of the talk, too, yeah?
Yes. And that,
more space and more opportunities there instead of having it really congested right there right now, which is a good thing because a lot of people are coming out. So it means we need more space. So I think moving it back near the Ag Park area is a perfect location.
Yes. And this is a rough week or two. This is the budget time, correct?
Yeah, we're going through budget right now as we speak.
And how's that going and how can we help?
Well, we're not at the point. Well, let me say this. I need to submit our budget on March 15th. I would encourage whoever wants to come to our state of the county, which is on March 17th at 9 o'clock in the morning, right down here in the Rotunda area, where I will deliver my state of the county address to the people.
Okay, March 17th. You know me. I'm going to be
o'clock,
there. 9 a.m.
Right here at the Rotunda area. I'll be delivering my budget message along my state of the county and kind of just running through all the things that has happened, occurred this past year, and what we look forward to the upcoming year regarding our budget. We're kind of working that now and getting down the budget message and overall, but a lot of it has to do with, of course, sustainability, making sure we can be fiscally responsible as best as we can, looking at different projects and programs, our Holo programs like we talked about. But I'll be sharing all of that during that time. And then, of course, some of the agricultural opportunities that's going to come our way as well.
So after you do your state of the county and you come up with a budget, just for the people who don't know, then it goes to the council.
Goes over to the county council on March 15th. And then from that point on, the council will take their take on it, and then a series of public meetings, and will be forthcoming. And that's when, if the public wants to come, they can also chime in on some of the parts of the budget that they support or don't support or would like to look at and stuff like that. So there's a whole process in place after the 15th.
And most of that public hearing process is going to happen in the council chambers, correct?
Most of it is going to happen, yes. That's
and then I know that your office often watches it, right, live streaming online. Is it typical that you might be in there when they're having that public outreach or the public hearing time? Yeah.
Yeah, I sit through all the budget hearings. I want to be there.
So you'll be there. So
I will be there.
Okay, you'll be there. And then, so that's great. And then a question that I was asked just before the start of the show, somebody brought up the 15-cent a gallon increase. I know Council Member Yukimura has brought that before the council for tomorrow. And there's also the 0.5% increase in the GET. That'd be the first time that the county has general excise tax.
Right.
These are for transportation-related issues to try and address our traffic challenges, correct?
Well, let me clarify. The proposal that we sent over for the GET tax, the legislature gave authority to the counties through the Act 240 was. They can actually go up to 0.5% GET tax per county. So we looked at that, knowing some of the challenges with the TAT. And in our proposal, our administrative proposal, it was to look at, and based upon surveys and being out and about in community, a lot of the requests from the people was how do we get our roads, fix our roads, our bridges, and, of course, transportation. So in our submittal, 75% of that 0.5% would go to roads, repairing of our roads and bridges. And then the other 25% would go to transportation. So that would be additional buses and whatever would come from that. Now, the 15% with gas tax, and so what happened was the council took that and came up with their own scenarios. So they're still going through the process as we speak. We're supposed to go back, I think, next week, Wednesday, to revisit this discussion on the floor. So they've taken our proposal and now looking at different scenarios, whether it be adding, instead of 0.5, you 0.25, and of the 0.25, you take half of that for transportation, and then you add the tax from gas, and which would add on for more support instead of taking the full 0.5. I mean, it kind of gets a little complicated, but from my standpoint, I felt strongly that we should take the opportunity that the state gave the counties and earmark it specifically for roads, bridges, and trans. And that's how it went across.
And so this 15 cent per gallon is the mayor's office, yourself and your group. Are you behind that, or are you reticent on it?
Well, right now, if you're asking me, we're still staying on our 75-25 submittal, and this is what's coming with this specific to the taxes per council member Yukimura and her take on how she feels maybe could make it work amongst all of them. So right now we're open. I'm listening, but we still have our proposal on the floor.
So,
and so as we move to the next session, I think it's next week, Wednesday.
It is. I think it's tomorrow.
Or is it tomorrow?
Yeah.
Okay, tomorrow then. Tomorrow. Sorry, next week, Wednesday is the salary part. Then we'll go from there. And whatever decision the council makes, yeah? Because it's still there. And we have several council members who approve and some don't. So it really depends, Felicia.
Well, so I'm learning something here. They are, it's one or the other, not both. I mean, they're not tied to each other. I mean, would it be if one fails, then the backup is the other?
Right. No, it's one. Yeah, whatever makes it. And so it depends on what is the final formula, if you will, that the county council will decide.
Because in theory, both could make it.
Yeah. Then it could both. It could just totally all both of it fail, and we just go back to the normal amount that we get anyway, you know. So it would be unfortunate. I believe this is a chance over a 10-year period, $200 million over 10 years. It's just making sure how we've been earmarked. We did a full spreadsheet on what bridges, what roads, when it would be, which should be first, second, third, based on severity of whatever the condition of the bridge or the roads. And that, to me, being out and about a lot, that was a big, big concern from the community. Fix our roads.
Right.
How can we do that? So
we have big challenges with that. I have two questions coming in from listeners.
Okay.
One is, how can he assure the public it will go to fixing roads and not creating bike trails? Because I think there's a segment of the population that looks at all these bike trails. I'm not against bike trails, by the way.
And there seems to be, we bring in different pots of money. I'm going to just use it that way. Like, for instance, our Tiger Grant.
Mm-hmm.
It's set aside specifically for complete streets and bikeways and roadways. This GET tax, the way it's set up or would be set up, is specific to road up repairing of roads and bridges. And that's, to me, doesn't include bike lanes, but it's roads and bridges. And the other 25 would be for transportation, whether it be new bus routes, new buses. The percentages, of course, are large, right? I mean, substantial for the roadways, but after going through a list of existing roads and bridges, we felt strongly that this was the formula that would work.
Okay. And then another question that came up is, somebody asked, how come what is already set aside isn't enough? I said...
How come what? I'm sorry?
How come what is already collected for roads isn't enough? How come we need more?
All I can say, I cannot speak for the previous administrations back, but... We're at a point where we're catching up and we're way behind, see? So based upon the information that we have at the table, which we shared with the county council, this is the information we have. And so this is a way we feel to really catch up and do what we need to do. Otherwise, we would still have the same amount of funding that's coming in and being able to manage that. And how do you actually meet the real needs of our island in the future? So with this, I look at this as an opportunity. We can really take a big, bold stand firmly forward and address the repairing, not new, now repairing of our roads and bridges.
Okay. And Mayor Carvalho, while you have this moment and you're speaking to a number of people on Kauai, a pretty broad cross-section, what ways can people help you, help the process? Do you have any legislation before the state right now? Can people be, voicing an opinion on that legislation? What are ways that people can help?
Well, right now, there's not no real legislation other than what we've submitted over to our county council. So just have everybody to stay informed to the council meetings for now, because everything is forthcoming, coming out one step at a time. If any kind of input and support would be at our county level right now because of what has been submitted recently. And if they feel strongly that our roads need to be repaired, then please support this effort. We can share some of the major specific, like I said, we've detailed it down to where each area of our island should be managed first and so forth. And then, so that would be one way. The other way is to get involved with the general plan for the bigger picture. And I really, really, really encourage our people of Kauai to come out and be part of that whole process. This is our time. If we're going to have to grow Kauai, we're going to grow Kauai responsibly, and I need the input from my people to a general plan update process. When they're out in your community, please come out to the meetings, share your mana'o, and this is a time we can talk more in depth about transportation, traffic, additional lanes, no lanes, ferry, whatever it is regarding transportation, housing, environmental issues, all of it. So, and how we want to see our island grow.
And so for people who don't understand the process, when they participate in the visioning at the general plan process,
right,
this is what sets what we used to call county zoning ordinances. We might still call them CZOs or county,
CZO,
county zoning ordinances. I know that we have some new form-based code structures that are coming up, but this affects both the CZOs, the county zoning ordinances, and the form-based code. So when people don't understand, they go, gosh, how come it isn't more supportive of agriculture? Or how come it isn't?
Right.
This is because those people did not participate in the visioning. And
right.
I appreciate, Mayor Carvalho, that you have called into KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea, and this is very helpful. I know that one thing that I have pushed for, and you may or may not support that with the Senate, is
okay.
For them to be looking at the TAT tax, the transit accommodation tax. I went to the presentation at the council. One of the people from Maui came over, and they showed the math on it, and it was really quite amazing. At a percentage of population, Kauai has really lost a lot of dollars that were meant for our budget to do as we locally choose to do it, instead of begging for the state to give to us. Do you have an opinion on?
I have an opinion. I believe that the TAT is our part of what we use to run our beautiful island. A lot of the TAT money's come, all the rescues we do and some of the amenities of our beautiful island, all of that is paid for with the TAT.
So that's the way the tourists contribute to the tax base,
right,
to cover
big part of that.
Yeah.
And I believe we are owed that. That's part of our funding that makes us be able to manage ourselves fiscally. But apparently the state has control right now. So as we speak, I just can say the two bills that were there regarding TAT died. So we're back to square one on the TAT. So that's why I'm looking at this is what we're going to get for this year. We're advocating to get more. But this is pretty much what we're having right now, which is about $14 million. Well, if we go for the GAT as well, there's another track that can help us in this particular area to help us secure funding there. We secured the Tiger Grant, which is another $13.8 million, which is federal funds to help us. So we got the federal pot, you got the state pot, you got the county pot. How do we advocate for each pot of funding to assure that it is we get our fair share? And we as mayors, we supported the legislature's committee that they formed statewide to look at and to look at how to better manage the TAT. And you know what? Unanimously, the committee came forth and said, yes, the counties deserve this funding. And you know what happened? That whole thing was dissolved and at the legislative level after the findings came out. And so we're supporting that. Just want to share a little bit about that. But the TAT, yes, is a big, big part of our funding source. And the more, we deserve more, period. But I got to look at what we have right now. Reality is right here. We can advocate and advocate as much as we need to and continue to look at that. But what is the true end result here? And right now we're looking at about $14 million that Kauai would get. When are we supposed to be getting $20, $25
million? Right.
You know, if we had that formula that was earmarked for each island.
Yes, so yeah. That was pretty frustrating.
That was frustrating.
Well, I appreciate your time. I enjoyed the prayer breakfast or the prayer luncheon that you had.
That was nice, wasn't it?
Oh, it was so nice.
Was beautiful. I mean, you know, everybody coming together and just sharing the word.
And Miles McPherson, the pastor that was really the lead speaker.
Former NFL player.
Heart,
right? From well, his life. And look at him today. You know, it's inspiring a lot of families, a lot of keiki, and really sending a strong, strong message of faith, hope, and love.
Yes, and that was his main thing, was important it is to love one another. And I thought he did a really, really uplifting and challenging message of
challenging,
how
very
people need to love everybody, including the people that they are the most frustrated
and
with.
And you know, Felicia, we all may not agree, but somehow down the line, somebody has to make a decision, and we got to look at the best information we have and go. And so with that, I thank you so much, Felicia, for the time, and thank you, KKCR, and maybe we can do this the next time.
And we're looking forward to seeing you on Sunday at the Seed Exchange.
On stage at 1:45, you said, right?
I'll save you a parking spot.
We'll save you a parking spot.
Okay, better yet, that would be great. Okay.
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 Aloha.
Thank you, Felicia. Aloha.
Okay, and again, you are listening to KKCR, Hanalei K-A-Q-A Kilauea. That was Kauai's Mayor Bernard Carvalho, who is going to be joining us at the Seed Exchange. And Kauai's Soapbox with Felicia and Marshall is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with the Copper Man.
KKCR, Hanalei, K-A-Q-A, Kilauea, K224CQ, Anahola, K284AL, Haleiwa.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR, its board of directors, staff, volunteers, or underwriters.
The Copper Man. Copper, stainless steel, and galvanized aluminum. We specialize in ornamental and custom work and fabricate and install any kind sheet metal work, residential and commercial. Serving Kauai for over 30 years. We're still talking. HarryConti.com. That's HarryConti.com. Or 639-3456.
Aloha, listeners of KKCR. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, your daily grassroots global news hour, urging you to support Kauai Community Radio. As a beacon of free speech, KKCR has been broadcasting from their jungle shack and building community in the island since 1997. KKCR brings you Hawaiian culture and music, independent voices and choices like Democracy Now!, otherwise shut out from the corporate media. During this program, please show your love for KKCR by making an investment in the station that loves you and become a sustaining member. Your monthly support at any level will pay dividends all year long and ensure the continued success of Kauai Community Radio. From our family at Democracy Now! To your ohana in the center of the Pacific, mahalo for your support. It really does make a difference.
Yes, please, mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. Marshall, we got a caller?
We do.
Aloha. Thank you for holding. You're on the air.
Yeah, right on. I just wanted to say I was very happy to hear the mayor on the radio, and I just wanted to give a shout-out to both of you for having that conversation in a pretty large public venue. And right on. Tell him good job. I hope he's listening still.
Yeah, and do you have a reaction, or you were happy?
I would say I have a reaction, but I'm pretty desensitized on all the issues. So it's not for me. It wasn't as visceral as maybe some of your listeners. But I mean, if I had to say anything, I would say I do know that right when I left the last meeting, I seen Janine or Dollar Wahini giving Lonnie the descriptive, and he told me it was pretty good. I haven't had a chance to look at the plan of what they want to do with the money. But I've been a skeptic about roads and their due process for a while now. And, you know, I have trust issues with how they use the money. You know, the one thing I don't like is the Tiger Grant, because, yeah, maybe they drew in federal money for the Tiger Grant. However, all of that focus on Rice Street is why they haven't started implementing some of the fixing and repairs at other areas that they could have already, because they spent so much time at the process of getting that stuff that time could have been spent somewhere else. And a lot of people that I talk to and use that road really like it as is, and it's really only been 12 years since they did it, and that's a four-year process. So that means they started the application for that Tiger Grant only 8 years into the birth of that road. And what they're trying to do is take it from four lanes to three lanes, like Kapaa, with the center lane being a turn either way. And they publicly state they want to slow traffic down on Rice Street. And so I am very skeptical about giving these guys more money. Right, I agree with everything they said. In fact, I was also at the meeting that they gave the presentation of the inventory, and I actually thought the mayor and the mayor's team did a very good job on that aspect. Believe it or not, I was like, yeah. However, how they use the money, to me, should have some stipulations that if you don't follow due process and if you're not on point with priority, then there should be some kind of mechanism for the public to get our money back. Look, they put an after-the-fact resolution bike path. And what that means is they did all levels of process on that bike path from the roundabout going up to Ohana with no due process. Not one public meeting, not one meeting at the council to accept the money from the DOD or even implement the money. And then they showed up and asked for a resolution to make it all legal. See, we cannot have that kind of process and give these guys money. The analogy to me is sending your addicted loved one who has a drug and substance abuse habit that you know of, and you keep giving them $100 to go get a carton of milk.
Right.
And they don't come back with the milk or $100.
Right.
And so that's how I feel. I mean, I'm really giving the mayor credit. I know it sounds like I'm beating him up, but for what he's been dealt, he's actually grown and become a very good, very good. I mean, his plan is correct. I just don't agree with who's in charge of spending this money. And I think that they have to reevaluate some of what they're going after.
Are you gonna be at, the council meeting tomorrow about the 15 cent a gallon increase?
Of course I'm going to be.
Okay, so Matt Bernarby. Hey, and I heard more than a rumor, right? Are you running for council?
Yes, ma'am. I'm going to run for council.
Have you pulled your papers yet?
I did pull my papers.
Okay, so it's more than a rumor. All right, so, all right.
No, in fact, it was in the newspaper.
Yeah, it was in the newspaper. Okay, yeah. So I will see you tomorrow.
I'll see you as well.
Okay, mahalo.
Yeah, have a good one. Aloha.
Aloha. Thank you for holding. You're on the air.
Hi, Lisa, this is Steve Yoder. I just wanted to remind everybody tonight, in the next 45 minutes, we'll begin the Republican caucus, where people can choose their Republican presidential nominee. And it'll be held in Princeville, Community Center, Kapaa, Neighborhood Center, Lihue Neighborhood Center, Kalaeo, and Waimea Neighborhood Center, from 6 to 8.
Right. And we have announced that, and I'm glad that you're announcing it again. And so sounds like the entire North Shore is, where would Anahola go? Would Anahola go to Princeville, or would they go to Kapa'a?
Okay. Anahola would go to Kapa'a. So and Kilauea and all the way to Haina would go to the Princeville Community Center.
And Wailua would go to Kapa'a. And
Hanama'ulu would go to Kapa'a.
And Hanama'ulu would go to Lihue.
Exactly. And
you're breaking up. Can you hear me? Steve? And while I'm waiting for you to come in more clearly, if you are able, will people be choosing their delegates tonight for the Republican event? The
He's convention? Gone, Felicia. Sorry, we
okay.
lost him.
All right. Okay, and speaking of the politics, have you seen if there's been any change or updates on the caucuses?
There has. We have 52% of the precincts reporting in the Democratic primary of Michigan, and with that, Bernie Sanders has 50% of the vote, and Hillary Clinton has 48%. So it has gotten a little bit closer there. And on the Republican side, Donald Trump has won the Republican Michigan primary. And, then we've got John Kasich after that, Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio.
So I was, we're about to pull our previous speaker who got cut off back on the air. In Michigan, did it go for Hillary or did it go for Bernie?
As of now, Bernie is ahead by 2
okay.
percentage points.
So I believe we got our caller back on. Let's see if we can pull him up. KKCR, you're on the air. Steve?
Yep, it's me again.
You're back on. Okay, so...
Okay. So are we on the air?
We're on the air. So you had gotten through... So where is Kalaheo? Kalaheo goes from what range to what range?
Okay, well, Hanama'ulu to Puhi will go to Lihue. And then from Omau to... Kalaheo would be going to Kalaheo, and then I believe that's, you know what, it's on the front page of the newspaper today.
Okay,
so I get kind of lost in it myself. Here, let's see here.
And then so the west side would go to Waimea.
There's the Waimea Community Center is the third one. Yeah, Waimea is Pakala, Waimea, Kekaha, and Ni'ihau residents. So Kalaheo would be Omau, Kaloa, Lawai, Kalaheo, Elealee, Hanapepe, and Kamakani.
Okay, so that's an important distinction because you don't want people driving in the wrong direction, and it's not their normal polling places for some. So
It isn't because the party-run caucus, but it must be true for the Democrat Party, doesn't always follow state-run polling places. The times are different. It's only for 2 hours, not the same location.
Right, and so Kaumakani, well, you'd think they would go to Waimea, they actually go to Kalaheo?
That's exactly
it's just around
right.
the corner from Waimea. Okay, so if somebody...
I know, but you know what happens here? If they do go to Waimea, not all is lost. They'll still be counted. It'll be a provisional ballot. It just simply means that they'll have to cross-check it a little bit longer for a day or so, and then it'll count. It'll still count.
Okay. All right, so we have a little bit of a bad connection. Is there any other critical piece of information you would like the listener to know?
Just a valid photo ID, and you'll be registering. If you're not registered to vote, we can get you registered to vote. We'll know that because we have the voter registration rolls there. And you'll also, everyone will be filling out a card to register for the Republican Party, and that it is a Republican caucus. You have to be a registered Republican to vote, which simply means that you can vote in this caucus. It doesn't mean that you have to vote Republican. In the future, you know, the state run, and Hawaii doesn't have a party system, so we're voting.
Okay.
Okay,
thank you.
That's it.
Thank you so much.
And we'll look forward to seeing everybody at the polls. You guys have a great show.
Great. Thank you. Hey, exciting. We have an unexpected guest in the show, and that's what community radio is all about. And I'm going to have you pull that mic right up to your mouth and pull your hat off. And great. So why don't you tell the listeners what your name is and what's on your mind?
Hello. Hi. My name is Joshua Fukino.
Yes, and your parents were in here really quite recently.
Yeah. They was talking about a medical...
KVMH, Kauai Veterans Medical Hospital, and Joshua is...
Basically, the health safety net of the islands, the state is at risk right now, you know, not just Kauai, but Kona, Molokai, all...
Right.
Throughout the state.
And Joshua is part of, you're part of Ho'oulu Vehi, aren't you, at the college?
Well, I work at the college with the Hawaiian Studies Department.
Okay, wrong department, same college, same place.
But we're all part of the same team. We all get the same, you know, goals, motivations.
And you're part of the Kauai Community Radio Board.
And, well, I used to be a member of the board.
Oh,
but then,
okay.
Well, there was some, I think I spent my terms and then I just... You know, I had to...
Busy
had
man.
Had a Kuleana.
Yeah.
Had a Kuleana. So we moved on. But I'm hearing, you know, a call back to the board again.
Okay.
I'm hearing some new... I guess there's new member people on the board, new directors. So I don't know.
Right. Maybe on.
Might, yeah.
So what's on your mind that you're coming in the station for?
Well, basically, I know I kind of... Sorry. I know I kind of talked to you on, like, Facebook and stuff.
Yes.
About my new initiatives with Kauai Kine and medical marijuana.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to pass you a pamphlet right now.
Okay.
So basically, I'm trying to fill a void of the lack of education, lack of awareness that our state, our government is not providing to, you know, the citizens here. And, you know, none of this information is hidden, but it's not being, you know, shared or to the point where it's kind of, you know, a lot of legislation coming out right now that people are, you know, kind of in the dark. And I guess, you know, like every other, you know, when I guess the new laws come up, there's things that threaten, things that advance causes, and so we're just trying to want to bring light to stuff.
So I will own that I am underinformed than some. This has come up on this show some, and, you know, if I was just to be honest with my bias, and I'm not a marijuana user, I'm actually... almost abnormally straight. I don't even drink coffee. But I feel like this stuff should just be straight up legal, because then we wouldn't have, or at least legal for people who have a problem. When this goes into the medical dispensaries, does that mean people can't grow their own little plant on their back porch for their backache that they got from Vietnam or, you know, like...
So yeah, some of those questions, a lot of those questions... People are still not sure. And so, you know, and it's good that you brought up your feeling. And that's kind of what we need, is everybody to come up with their own opinions and testimonies and how they feel about this. And really, like you said, we haven't had a discussion about this yet. The system is already, you know, it's been around since 2001, I believe. And... We are now having a system that's going to start regulating it, and we haven't had a discussion about it.
On KKCR, there's definitely been quite a few discussions about it. I've done it a little bit. The out-of-the-box folks have gone pretty deeply on it. So have you, obviously you've been following as it's been moving through the state legislature right now. I know
it
that
picked
it's
up my attention when they started to do this dispensary thing, because when I looked at the laws and the way it's set up, it clearly does not have the patient in mind.
Okay, so tell me about that.
Well, you know, I don't have, I mean, you know, I can pull up the actual book and read out of that, but, you know, people need to go and see. I'm organizing right now some events where we want to bring this education to the community. And if I can find a few places, that'd be cool. But I'm kind of thinking I might go real rogue and just set up on the beach.
And to be informing people.
Just about having that pamphlet out, maybe having a few, like folders of the laws available for anybody that wants to read through them. You know, instead of sitting here and reading it to them, they can come down, spend a day at the beach or something, and take a look at this stuff. But I feel like it needs to be out there, it needs to be shared.
Okay, so I'm looking at the questions that are in this pamphlet. One says, how much cannabis am I authorized to grow or possess? It says, mm-hmm. prohibited areas and activities. Will having a patient registry certificate exempt me from my employer's drug testing rules?
Yeah, so those are some of the frequently asked questions that medical marijuana patients have when they go in, you know, for their...
So are you looking to be a dispensary?
No, I am not. I'm just basically looking to be an advocate and basically sharing information. I'm trying to... I don't want to use the word watchdog, but I'm trying to keep the eye on the ball with some of the laws in this area.
Okay, so that's a real fresh thing. Like, normally everybody who's been coming in here is looking to do the business, right? So you're not looking to do the business.
Well, I do have a business set up where I can operate legally and do these events and be able to, you know, not burden myself financially. So I do have a business, but I'm not into dispensing medication or any of that type of stuff. I'm just more about education and awareness.
Okay. So I hear from so many people who would not fit the stereotypical cannabis user, mm-hmm. maybe seniors with cancer who have long and illustrious careers, who swear by it, who say it made all the difference in turning their cancer around. It's metastasized into the bone, yet they are living a robust life.
So that's one of the big myths right now, is that, you know, the stigma, that the stoner stigma, the in the basement with the mom, you know, staying at home with mom stigma. You know, that's really because these prominent people, they don't share their stories. They don't, because they can't. You know,
right.
You know, they can't because society, you know, legally, they can't. But now we do have ways that we can share now. As a patient, I'm legally, you know, have this structure where I can share my experience with the system. And
so are you a patient?
Yes, I am.
Okay. what condition has it helped you with?
Well, I have pain. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of guys with pain, and so... You know, I was kind of getting hooked on the...
Oxys,
you know,
something, right?
Yeah,
we
like
just
many.
A couple weeks ago, we had Chief Prosecutor Justin Caller in here.
Mm-hmm.
And both from him and from listeners, we were hearing how profound of a problem that is and how difficult it is to disengage. And people die from it.
Well,
this is a much safer...
Yeah. I've been taking
structure.
Off work. You know, I've been having to take off work because of pain. Because I have a, you know, back injury with this sciatic, but I don't want to complain or anything. But, you know, it helps me, you know, with it. That's
right.
What I can say.
And the nice thing is, mm-hmm. if people are able to grow their own stuff at home, and they can cultivate for what is exactly what they need, and I can say that as part of the regenerations team, like I hope you make it to our seed exchange, and
yeah,
this would be a great place to give this out, actually.
You know, is that happening this weekend?
This is happening this Sunday.
All right.
Come on up, and okay. then, you know, and it might be a little late to have a booth, but maybe you can even call Paul and Krista, maybe you can have a booth.
If I can even just share the pamphlets, that would be great, too.
But you might have a place where, or maybe you can come up on the stage and say for a moment of what you're trying to do, and then you can have a little bit of a cluster of where
okay.
people can be learning about it, because it seems to me that if people are mildly growing a little bit of this stuff in their backyard, just like I eat chayote to make sure my blood sugar stays in good shape,
yeah.
and it helps.
Okay.
If we're doing that, it'll work well. I think we have a caller who has a question. Hello, you're on the air. You're on the air. You sound like you're under the ocean.
Take a breath then.
Oh, okay. Eric is on the line. Eric?
Hey, Eric.
We can barely hear you. You're in Japan?
Hello?
Yep,
Felicia.
Yes, it's me and Joshua. Okay.
I have to call you back later. I'm sorry.
Okay, you sound like we're hearing you through the sea, but we love you. Okay.
That's international.
Aloha.
We lost him, Felicia.
Okay. All right. So, when people can be growing their own medicine,
yes.
eating it gently, and mm-hmm. Nothing's going to kill. It's not something that's going to kill them. It's not going to harm them. It doesn't cost them mm-hmm. a lot of money. It doesn't turn into an underground economy. Aloha, you're on the air.
Is that me?
It is you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, one of the questions I have about the medical marijuana dispensaries is I heard originally that it was going to be what they were calling it ground up or something like that, where there were going to be factories where the papalolo would be grown and the distribution would be in the same building, and that individual growers or care providers that would be gone. There would be no more of that anymore. And that it would all be attractive to the big money people that come in, and you had to build more than $1 million facility to qualify for this, because mm-hmm. you would need to grow all of your product there,
yeah.
process it, package it, and sell it. Is that not true?
Well, some of that stuff that you said is absolutely right. The caregiver thing, the lawmakers feel that since these patients can access it through the dispensary, they no longer would need the caregiver. So that's going away. I'm not sure when they're going to take that one away. I don't think they're going to be able to dispense in the same production area. So they'll have one. So basically, there'll be one license for Kauai, and this license will have two production centers and also two retail centers. That's the most they could have. So they might just opt for one, they might have two. But correct, they need to be fully, I guess, integrated, where they will produce everything from seed to sale. So it's a lot of money. And the fact that it's so much money, it already tells me that the patient is gonna burn the cost. So that's why I feel, this system, there's a problem with the system, and there's a lot of things that we could do to fix it. So if we could have concerned citizens come out and voice those, like every other issue, we need those voices to come out and be a part of the solutions.
It seems like they're opening up to the big money people to come in, because they know it's a very profitable industry, and they're not as concerned about the patient getting his medication as they are into providing a business opportunity for a big companies. Perhaps Syngenta, mm-hmm. Monsanto, these guys could come in and be our care providers
and
supply us with our papalolo.
Yeah, and so they're kind of following that old model of, forcing people to purchase their stuff by restricting them from buying other stuff.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's not gonna work. And they're underestimating the power of the people. And what we need to do as the people is start to get the confidence of ourselves and really, really rise up.
And if I could jump in a little bit here on the political end of stuff, something that I worry about, criminalizing marijuana has just funded the Correctional Corporation of America and the prison industry. And so that's been one area where money has been made big time.
Yes.
And that what can happen, you know, we were just speaking with the mayor and understanding how important it is to have, they're trying to figure out how they're going to fix the roads, right? Everybody needs the money. So what I think what we see with Colorado and Washington and what has been the piece that has shifted it is then they go, okay, well, we can tack on a whole lot of taxes onto this. And then we'll fund our states or something like that. You know, it seems like they're giving a monopoly away, though.
Away. Is there any restrictions on pesticide use, on genetic modification of this sort of thing? If they are allowed to do that, their business may fail. Most people who are involved in smoking cannabis are concerned about the quality of their weed. These big companies, they're after profit margin. If they can grow more weed, and make a higher profit from it, so be it. That's how they're going to want to go, not the quality for their customers or for patients who want to use the product. So it seems like it's really ill-fated or ill-intended to set up some business people with a very big cash flow.
Yeah. So you know, a lot of the critics, they'll say that, you know, this system is not designed to take away the black market, but it's kind of almost going to assist it in a way because
it's going to make a new black market.
Yeah, it really is. So you know, obviously the first caller in has shot numerous holes in this new system, and yeah, you know, the sooner they can open up in July. Okay, the applications are in, so. These discussions should have happened a few years ago, but let's have them soon. Sorry, let's have them soon.
So thank you, caller, and maybe you might want to come to the Seed Plant Exchange next week, too.
Yes.
Thank you so much. And Joshua, I'm glad that you're in here, and this is a really important piece, and I want to also recognize our guest that got stuck in traffic on the way up. Kayla Larson.
Yeah. Hi. Felicia, how are you?
Hi. And so we're talking about agriculture, and Kayla is going to the Sustainability Summit with KCC, Kauai Community College. Joshua works at Kauai Community College.
Oh, really?
And
I think I've seen you.
So, Kayla, tell us what you were just doing and then where you're going.
Well, actually, I was supposed to be on a field trip with one of my sustainability classes, taking water samples from the Hulia River, but it actually got canceled because it was bad
too
weather.
Rainy. Okay, yeah. I was thinking, oh my gosh, so you were going to be out there with Justin Carvalho?
No, actually, my instructor for the class is Daniel Erickson, but I am going with Justin Carvalho to the Sustainability Summit.
Okay, so I just went to a Sustainability Summit last week at Kauai Community College, and so they had a number of invited guests that they were trying to show what they're offering. We saw the houses that are being made out of containers. I was really impressed with the green automotive section. They made like a little, I want to call it a transformer, but what they were doing with batteries and refurbishing batteries and making condensed batteries was great. Great things with automobiles. What part of the sustainability program are you in, and what is the club you're involved in?
Well, right now I'm just taking some courses at KCC that will lead me towards my bachelor's degree in Maui.
And what is your bachelor's degree going to be in?
It's in sustainable science management.
And so sustainable, people hear that word all the time to the point where it's almost stolen, but sustainable means that we can keep ourselves going without needing inputs. I even like the word resilient because that means not only where we're at but getting better. But so what do you expect to achieve at the Sustainability Summit?
Well, I'm kind of going just to observe and kind of learn what it is all about. From what I understand so far, it's going to be people from all the colleges in the UH system discussing ways to be more sustainable in their campus and how to apply these ways and to educate people. And, yeah, that's from what I understand what it's mostly about. And I'm going to go observe it and see what it's like. And since I see myself in that field one day, it's the perfect opportunity for me.
And so it challenges us all around the island in many ways. Like a big piece is our solid waste. We have all kinds of rubbish. We need to find ways. And by growing our own food, mm-hmm. we have less rubbish. Joshua was just in here talking about medical marijuana. By creating our own medicines, we have less challenges, less plastic, less all the things that go along Definitely. In that pipeline. Mm-hmm. Certainly the Ho'oluwehi, and Joshua, I'm sorry, I'm looking at you because you're Hawaiian, and can you help me with that word? I know it's a verb.
Ho'oluwehi.
What does it mean, though?
Ho'oluwehi means to flourish, or to
thrive,
to become abundant, to be verdant, to be lush, to be... vehi.
Okay, all right, thank you, because I haven't.
Yes, beautiful.
Okay, all right, because yeah. I haven't really had that word broken down for me.
Yeah, so let's make this aina very beautiful, and let's take care of it. Let's malama and aloha aina, and make it very uluvehi.
Make it very uluvehi. Yeah. So yeah. when you do things like go up the river to look at water samples, you're looking for what?
Yeah, well, actually, we were going to take water samples and pretty much just for the purpose of understanding why and how to do it. And we were going to test for pH balance and TDS, total dissolved solids, and also turbidity.
Turbidity means how muddy and dirty the water is.
Yeah, right, exactly. So, yeah, these things could be useful. Like the pH, testing for the pH is a scale of telling how basic and how acidic your liquid may be. So say if the scale was to read very acidic, you'll know that, upstream there might be some sources that are putting in chemicals or of whatever sort into the water. And total dissolved solids can also help us identify chemicals in the water that have dissolved so that we know the quality of the water and how...
And the oxygenation rate, I know, is also an important aspect in there because that helps our fish and what fish go from the mountain to the sea. You know, a lot of our fish are...
So if you think of our rivers as the veins for our islands, those need to be open. Cholesterol can't be backing those up.
Definitely.
That's right.
We need to open those up.
And you help with the Hawaiian Studies program, right?
Yeah, I do. And we're trying to build community out there, so I'm also... I got to put a plug in right now because I'm on this First Friday thing. I want to call it maybe Family Fridays or Ohana Days. But I want to invite community out there and just get introduced to the college. And I'm going to invite professors down and, introduce them to the community. And
out there. Where's
out
there?
Out there. There is at the Taro Patch at KCC. As you drive into Kawaikini, it's over on the left. You kind of cannot really see it because it's on the slope.
So it's in the farm area?
Towards that area, but it's right there off of the main road.
So the Performing Arts Center, where most of the concerts are, you're going to pass that parking lot, then you're going to go to the left.
We're right there on that sidewalk on that hill right there.
Boom. And Kawaikini is the charter school that
turn in and
language immersion.
Yeah.
And can you olelo? Are you good?
A little bit.
Okay.
A little bit only.
And so when you're going to go over with Helen Cox, the chancellor of the college?
Helen Cox, Justin Carvalho, myself, and Daniel Erickson, I believe. That's all of us from
So you're the only student?
Yeah, it looks like, yes, I am the only student. It's an honor, definitely. I mean...
I'm proud of you. You're 20 years old.
Yeah,
Kapahai.
Yeah, I graduated in 2013.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, not supposed to show a bias. You're probably Waimea.
Me? Oh, yeah.
Okay, sorry. No, sure.
No, it's all love.
It's all love. So, well, that's good. And are you enjoying what you're learning at the college?
Definitely, yeah. There's some very interesting SSM courses. Sustainable Science Management courses that are offered there. There's certificates offered, certificate of competence, certificate of achievements that you can achieve with actually just a lot of these classes and some other basic general eds.
And I want to give a shout out to the certificates, mm-hmm. because what I'm learning mm-hmm. is that you know, certificates matter. And in fact, a lot of the companies, they start looking at the certificates that you get as much as the degree. So, like, yeah. Instead of, like, if somebody hasn't completely finished 4 years, it's not like, oh, it's all been a wash. If you have certificates in these six different areas, well, right. You know, that's what matters.
Yeah, you can kind of get specialized in stuff. And then, you know, I guess you can kind of add things on as your company needs it, too. You know what I mean? Like, they might need a tech stuff, or they might need a culture component, or maybe a sustainable component.
Right. Yeah, I think the certificates definitely look good on a resume, and then they also are end up being the requirements for a lot of the, you know, the AA degree or the associate's degree or the bachelor's degrees that link up with other colleges in the UH system. So, I mean, it's pretty cool to go and go ahead, especially if there's something you're interested in, like in my case, sustainability, and get these certificates while you're fulfilling your other degree.
So when you
just
get
add on to your resume
these degrees, mm-hmm. or this degree, what kind of job are you going to get?
Well,
that's what it's important to me. What does it translate into?
I'm trying to look into the lines of like sustainable science management, hopefully maybe working for the state, a company, maybe a hotel or a college, doing managing.
Maybe helping them not do so much damage?
Right,
maybe?
Yeah, kind of managing just mm-hmm. general things as far as, you know, your energy efficiency, I don't know, your design of your building, what your wastewater is going, if you can maybe reuse that water for irrigation, ways to be sustainable, using eco-friendly products, kind of just like manage that. I'm not 100% sure, but along those lines. And yeah, I'd like to see where it leads me. It's my passion, so I'm kind of sticking with it.
And I'm not questioning your choice. I'm just showing my generational difference. I'm mm-hmm. looking over here at Jazz with John, who's in here. And I bet, John, when you were in college, they didn't have a sustainable science degree.
No.
Nope, he says. Engineering degree. Yeah. Like, when I was in college, there was no sustainable science degree. There wasn't really even environmental science.
Right.
And that hasn't been that long ago. So it's kind of catching up that they're kind of, oh, you know what, we're kind of wrecking the place, and how are we going to sit there and do differently? And in the Hawaiian yeah. Studies Department, it's got to pair pretty well with sustainable science.
Well, yeah, you know, so for us over there on the culture side, you know, we heard of this sustainable science thing, and we're kind of like, okay. We call that everyday life.
Yeah, yeah.
But we do have a term for it that's called Aloha Aina. And, you know, so we are familiar with that concept. We don't have that term sustainable science, and we don't have a science curriculum. But Aloha Aina has been a long, you know, a long system that Hawaiians.
That's right. And if I break that down as a perpetual haumonic, because I wasn't mm-hmm, born here, mm-hmm. Aloha Aina means love for not only the land, but all the life within the land. So it's mm-hmm. deep respect and love for the life of the land. Is that kind of a good...
There's so much deep.
So much deep. It's
I mean,
very
Aloha,
deep.
Aloha itself is it's a deep word. It's a very deep word. You know, many people don't understand how deep that word goes. The whole Aloha spirit thing, I think it gets really commercialized. But when we combine Aloha and Aina together, that's like two very heavy words already. Because Aina is not just the land, but it's that which feeds you. So that could be people. That is people. People farm the land.
And
the land just, you know.
And maybe how it just feeds life in general. Mm-hmm. And on
yes.
this show,
right.
We have such a range of listeners that I really work to break it down, because it's important for all of us to be able to catch what those words
yeah.
mean, because there's some people who have inhaled those words since they were born
mm-hmm.
and others who are living within that breath that need, and like, because Keola, you're going to go to the mainland, right? For the first time.
Is that right? Well, I don't know
or
when.
Or maybe
but
not the
yeah,
mainland. So I thought you said you were going to
oh,
go
well,
somewhere.
Oh, well, this thing is actually just in a walk. Are you talking about the sustainability summit?
Yeah, but weren't you saying you're going to try and go to the continental United States? You haven't been there yet,
well,
right?
This summer maybe, yeah, but yeah, nothing's for sure. No, I have not been there yet.
Right. So that's have you? You've obviously been, yes.
Well, I've been to the summit in Oahu. And, yeah, you can have.
But yeah. Have you been to the continental United States?
Oh yeah.
So he has yet to go. Like his whole life
okay.
is here. So So, you know, there are people here that have not experienced it. So you've never seen snow, for example. So right. There's wonderful learning in front of you. But the reason I brought that up is even if you weren't born within his culture, this is your Aina here. This is your island. I have two people in here. Talia Abrams, though, she is the well-traveled girl. She is born and raised here, and this is the only home that you've really known. And I'm going to give her a chance to say a little bit here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a big my culture shock was when I found out that we were in a stadium, and the capacity was bigger than Kauai. You know,
more people were in the stadium that stadium? A football game or something?
It was somewhere in Vegas, somewhere. You know,
okay.
It was huge. It was, pretty big.
Yeah, I know. I would go to trade shows.
Maybe 80,000 or something.
Yeah, I'd go to trade shows, and there's more people at the trade show than lives on the island, including the tourists.
Like, wow.
Wow, you know, that it can be so very, very crowded. Well, what I wanted Talia to be able to say, because we worked on a bill together that was for edible landscaping in public places, and have you been following? I know that it kind of basically came up one more time, and just a quick answer. Have you followed how it's doing right now? Did it make it through, or is it?
From what I've seen so far, is it made it through? It's
made it through the House or the Senate?
Made it through the Water and Land Committee. That's as far as I've seen.
Okay.
The last.
Okay, so thank you, though, again, for trying to bring that out, and it's really appropriate for our show today that has the extra emphasis on agriculture. So as we're talking about medical marijuana, that is part of agriculture. There's so many different pieces.
It looks like it could be, you know, if it works out the way, I mean, hemp just passed, right, in Hawaii.
So tell us about that.
Well, I'm not really caught up with the hemp thing.
Because I haven't seen that it made... Actually, it's in there, but it. I'm gonna correct you for a minute. I'm gonna say something, too.
Okay.
That right now, we're in the recess between when the bills in the state legislature transfer over from the House to the Senate or from the Senate to the House. So when there is a bill that's up in the first half of the legislative time, one group hashes it out, and usually there are companion bills in the opposite chamber, and
all
so
right, it's great education right
so
now.
In this week is when they're transferring over, and a lot of times, so when we had the caller call in and we were asking about whether people who are self-care providers, if they grow their own marijuana or on any of these pieces, all this stuff gets debated in these groups, and if you want to make sure that the individual is able to provide their own crop, shall we say that, their own medicine, people need to be super involved. And speaking like here, it's Derek Kawakami. We are in a special time when we have Ron Kochi is the president of the Senate. So whether you agree with him or not, on most of the issues, he represents you, and I will give him credit for realizing that. So he comes out, and like I was saying at the beginning of the show, he came to our Syngenta meeting. He was at the Sustainability Summit at KCC. He helped to bring people, the Department of Ag and the Department of Health, together almost for the first time this season to have those two and the Department of Education in the room at the same time was really, really rare. And like going over and talking to him, you need to go talk to him. Bring this to him. Have you done that yet?
I have not. I have just started to talk with the community. But
well,
I
you give him a call. You give him a call. You should talk to Dee Morikawa, your representative. Call them. And because they have people over here, you go talk to them when they're here. Because... Joshua?
Yeah.
You have high mana?
Yeah.
They're going to listen to you.
Yeah. Okay.
So we just have a little bit of time left. What is your biggest goal? I know you can go over there to learn, Keola.
Yeah.
What other, what do you, looking to learn the most? As you represent your generation over on Oahu with the rest of the islands, talking about at the Sustainability Summit.
At the summit, I guess, really, I'm just looking at it as an opportunity to learn and
what do you want to learn, though?
See what it's about. I really want to kind of make some sort of connections, I guess, with people and see how they're going to make their campuses more sustainable and see their techniques and approaches and see if it's things I know of or have heard of, or if not, then learn about it.
And you are part of the Sustainability Club?
Oh, yeah, there is just a small club on campus at KCC. We meet just like once or twice a month. We have good food from the greenery, and we just discuss, brainstorm, like, little ideas, small projects.
Shout out to the greenery right there on Akahi Street.
Yeah, good, healthy food. Delicious. They cater. So, yeah, if anyone is interested in sustainability and interested in any projects or have ideas around campus for making the school more sustainable, then come by.
What time do they meet? Come by when?
We have it every other Thursday
at
4 o'clock on the farm, and on the pavilion at the farm,
which is right near Joshua's place. So is this the every or is this the other? Is it this Thursday
This is the other.
The other. So a week from Thursday, and I want to talk to you because I know those of us that are involved with Bioneers would really, really love to be involved in the Sustainability Club. And we have a bunch of films, and we'd like to support what you're doing.
Definitely. Sounds great.
And so if somebody wanted to contact the Sustainability Club, how do they get a hold of it?
I guess you could just, email me, I suppose.
And what's your email?
At keolalarson@gmail.com.
Spell Larson.
L-A-R-S-O-N.
LARSON@gmail.com.
Correct.
Okay, for the Sustainability Club. All right, that sounds good. We are almost out of time. I was going to say what I learned at the Syngenta meeting, but I will do that next time. I've invited all these people to the seed exchange. I want them to see what we're doing, and I will say, like, in their good growth plan that they have, they've got this big color brochure of how they want to renew exhausted soil. I mean, when you read it, you'd think that the regenerative community has written it. You know, they're still kind of building credibility with us. Is that almost generous to say that? But they're talking about rescuing farmland, help biodiversity flourish, empower smallholders, help people stay safe. I do know that they are opening up to helping some farmers over there on the west side with water, and I think that they are trying to reach out. So,
If they were trying to do like a Save the Face PR campaign thing, they could just really deck them out, you know, with nice yards or whatever, ACs and, you know, whatnot.
Who knows? But so we have to keep an open mind, and I will be looking at that more. Jimmy Trujillo has jury duty this week, so he just got called in for that. We're not sure if he is going to be back in the booth on Thursday or if one of the rest of the team is going to be jumping in for him. But it's time for Jazz with John. We're just going to go aloha, aloha, aloha. I'd like something very simple, because then we're going to hear the county council report.
Aloha.
And we're going to see you, Joshua, on Sunday, 12 o'clock, and you're going to communicate with us. Maybe you need to show up just a little bit earlier for that, at the mini golf area in Kilauea at 12 to 5. And thank you, Keola, for coming in.
Thank you very much for having me.
Okay, and my darling friend Talia does not have a microphone in front of you, but
aloha.
There she goes. Marshall?
Thanks for coming in.
Oops, wait a minute.
Thanks for coming in, guys. Thank you, Felicia. Aloha.
Aloha. And now we're hearing the county council report, and Jazz with John is coming up next. This is KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea.
Aloha.
I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Here's a county council report for the week of March 7th. There will be a regular council meeting at 8:30 a.m. on Wednesday, March 9th. The meeting will be in the council chambers in Lihue. Here's some highlights from the rather lengthy agenda. The council will interview Gary Pacheco for the Liquor Control Commission with a term ending 12/31/2018. Prosecuting attorney requests approval to spend $210,716 in federal funds for the Kauai Victim of Crime Act expansion project for the Public Safety Committee, and this was recommended referral on March 2, 2016, and is also under committee reports. The mayor transmits two candidates for approval for the Police and Liquor Control Commissions, and this is also under resolutions. The acting housing director transmits for consideration two resolutions regarding HUD grants. Council member Hooser transmits for council consideration a resolution urging Governor Ige, the Kauai Legislative Delegation, and the State Department of Transportation to acknowledge the urgency and importance of addressing the traffic congestion within the Kapa'a-Wailua traffic corridor. And this is resolution number 2016-31. The chief of police requests council approval of an unbudgeted equipment purchase of para-DNA screening unit at a cost of $73,318.98 using unexpended funds from a KPD account. The fire chief requests council approval to spend two assistance to firefighters grants, the first to purchase 50 automatic external defibrillators with training. Their current AEDs are 10 years old and failing. The total cost of this project is $260,000, of which AFG would cover 90%, or $199,735, and the KFD would be responsible for the remaining 10%. The second grant would be used to purchase a 2,000 4x4 water tender with training, which will assist KFD in remote locations or where additional water resources will be needed to mitigate structure, brush, or other fires. Total cost of this project is $286,000, of which AFG would cover 90%, or $260,000, and the KFD would be responsible for the remaining 10%. The planning director transmits the planning commission's recommendation amending the county code restricting homestays to the Vista designation area and establishing standards under which homestays should operate. This is proposed draft bill number 2619 under bills for the first reading. Councilmember Chalk requests council consideration for the public release of two county attorney opinions relating to Bill 2601, removing the sunset restriction for additional dwelling units on other than residentially zoned lots. Councilmember Yukamura transmits for council consideration a proposal to amend the county fuel tax rates as follows. Effective January 1, 2017, an additional 15 cents per gallon of liquid fuel and additional 10 cents per gallon of biodiesel. Effective January 1, 2026, the fuel tax would be decreased by 15 cents per gallon of liquid fuel and 5 cents per gallon for biodiesel. This is Resolution 2016-32 and proposed draft bill number 2620, also under bills for the first reading. Councilmember Yukamura also transmits for council consideration proposed amendments to establish a 0.25% surcharge on the state general excise tax and use tax for the county of Kauai. This is proposed draft bill number 2621. She also transmits for consideration a proposed draft bill to amend the county code to increase the motor vehicle weight tax for all motor vehicles by $0.0138. See proposed draft bill number 2622. Under committee reports for the Public Safety Committee, Council Chair Raposo requests the fire chief provide a briefing on the recent rescues that took place in Kalalau Valley and the reasons as to why the county is not charging for the recovery of rescue expenses outlined in Ordinance 991, and this was received for the record. The Planning Committee has communications from Council Chair Raposo requesting agenda times for the Coco Palms Hui LLC to provide a status report regarding their progress to rebuild the Coco Palms Hotel, and this was received for the record. Under bills for second reading is Bill 2614, Draft 2, relating to registration of lobbyists. There will be a non-public executive session. Subjects include a matter pertaining to the county attorney, also pertaining to the county clerk, and a briefing on a civil case. And finally, to provide a briefing to council regarding council's release of county attorney opinions relating to Bill number 2601, removing the sunset restriction for additional dwelling units on other than residentially zoned lots. If the council is not finished with this meeting by approximately 1:30 p.m. at real recess for public hearing, Bill 2616 relating to impoundment fees and Bill 2617 revising amounts estimated in the general fund, and that's for the Kauai Humane Society barking dog enforcement in the amount of $33,901. Visit http://www.kauai.gov for more information. Until next week, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Aloha.
Yeah.